Let's take a trip down memory lane with Niagara County's Great History Show. Now, here's your host, Norm Palmer.
Ha, 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 ha. It's not Norm. Norm's not here today. This is John Mazur. Good morning and welcome to Niagara County's History Show. It's a Wednesday. It started out very wet, but seems to be drying out right now. Melissa Dunlop, who is usually here on the History Show every month, is on vacation, a well-needed vacation, I might add. And so we hope that she gets the rest, and we'll be back next month here on Niagara County's History Show. In studio, filling in for Melissa this morning, is a good friend, Dave Kenyon. And Dave is the chairman of the Lockport Locks Heritage District here in eastern Niagara County. And so good morning and welcome to the History Show, Dave.
Well, thank you very much, John. Great to be here.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny because you and I and Stephanie talk all the time on the phone during Wake Up Niagara. And to actually put a face to the voice, you know, it's kind of cool, actually.
Definitely. So, thank you. And, of course, our organization, the Lockport Locks Heritage District, has a very close affinity to the Niagara County Historical Society. Why? Because the Lockport Locks Heritage District is all about history. It's all about the heritage that this community shares because of our Erie Canal locks and the many, many families, the many, many businesses that, you know, have thrived because of the Erie Canal, because of the tremendous asset that the Erie Canal is today.
Mm-hmm. And thus, who better to fill the chair of Melissa Dunlap than Dave Kenyon?
Well, that's high praise. We can talk about that at the end of the show.
Okay. All right. And speaking about talking, 433-1433 is the number to call. If you would like to join the conversation this morning, there's a large agenda of things that we want to cover during this 45 minutes here on WLVL. But feel free to join us at 433-1433. We have our history expert. Actually, you know what? I was looking, too, and I saw that Anne-Marie Linneberry is the assistant executive director of the Historical Society. Melissa, of course, is the executive director. So between those two and you, Dave, I think we have all of Niagara County's history covered here. So,
well, and I'm very fortunate also to be able to serve on the board of directors of the Niagara County Historical Society. So I've just been on the board for the last couple of years. But believe me, it helps an awful lot in terms of coordination of efforts, because both the Historical Society and especially our Locks District organization depend heavily on volunteers. Mm-hmm. And so you'll find a lot of the same dedicated, knowledgeable, and helpful volunteers at the Historical Society as you find helping out in the Locks District. And it's been a great relationship. And, again, both organizations benefit tremendously.
Yeah. Dave, I was hoping maybe you could just kick off the show for us today, giving us an update on what's happening with the Flight of Five locks, lock tenders display that's continuing to be installed. I think the last installment is going to be next year, correct?
We do hope that in 2022 we'll be able to complete the Lock Tenders Tribute Monument. There remain six figures to be completed as part of the 14-figure display that's located right on the stairs in the Lockport Locks. And, of course, in 2020 we initiated the project by installing the first three figures. This year we were fortunate to be able to add another five figures, including the photographer. And, of course, we kicked off the celebration this year actually with a month-long display at the Keenan Center during the month of May, featuring the work of photographer F.B. Clench, Frank Bernard Clench, who in 1897 actually took the photograph of the 12 lock tenders and the little girl seated on the stairs in the Lockport Locks. And that show, by the way, was curated by local photographer Dennis Steyer. So we took that as the kickoff for our celebration this year. July 3rd, we were able to have the formal dedication of those five additional sculptures. They are life-size cast bronze sculptures that were created by artist Susan Geisler, who has her studio right in Youngstown. And at this point in time, we have commissioned Susan to proceed with three of the remaining six figures. Our fundraising continues. And like I said, we hope that we will be able to give her the green light to proceed with completing all six of those remaining figures. But right now, we're proceeding with three of the six.
Mm-hmm. Susan Geisler, you said, is in the town of Youngstown. And so had other artists from outside the area been considered for this? And the reason I ask this, Dave, is because in my mind, having somebody from Niagara County, creating this artwork that's going to be such an integral part of the heritage of Lockport Locks, I think is really cool that, you know, here she is. She's right from this area. So
other artists were considered, but we were very taken by the examples of her work already existing locally, including Tuscarora Heroes. Mm. And Freedom Crossing, which are both on display right in Lewiston.
Yeah, and the Freedom Crossing, I think, is set up right near the Silo restaurant.
Correct.
Right on the edge of the river there.
So. Correct, right yeah. On the edge of the river. And, of course, Freedom Crossing commemorates the escape of slaves from the U.S. to Canada,
mm-hmm.
Which was the Niagara River was a major crossing to freedom, hence Freedom Crossing is a very appropriate title for that particular work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this summer, we were talking to, just last week on our morning show, Wake Up Niagara, we were talking to John Percy, who is the president and CEO of Destination Niagara USA, and he was telling us that the numbers are up considerably, obviously, over last year as far as tourism goes, but they're much better than they were expecting them to be over 2018 and 2019 as well. He gave us some figures, some facts, and things are really looking up. I'm asking or mentioning this because I wanted to ask you, as far as the tourism here in the eastern part of the county, have you seen an increase with the activity around the locks this year, Dave?
Well, as we talked a couple of weeks ago, we've had a very strong season in the Locks District. Between Lockport Cave and Underground Boat Ride, Lockport Locks and Erie Canal Cruises, as well as our lock tender tribute mm-hmm. tour, which originates from the Erie Canal Discovery Center, the numbers have been very, very strong. I don't have any specific numbers for you right now, but I'm so glad that you brought up Destination Niagara and their fine work, because their work translates in different ways. Obviously, we look for what we call heads on beds. In other words, so how is the occupancy rate at our area hotels? And I know from talking with our local Lockport hotels, the occupancy has been very strong this summer, as it has been in Niagara Falls. But we also translate the efforts of Destination Niagara in terms of other types of marketing initiatives. And one of the areas that Destination Niagara really excels in is their relationship with outdoor riders. And Destination Niagara arranged for visitation by two different outdoor riders over the summer. We had a visit by an authoress who writes for Western New York Family Magazine. And also there was a filming crew that filmed our volunteer lock tenders locking through the Erie Traveler through our restored Erie Canal locks, and that will be filmed and probably broadcast right after the first of the year on an episode of Travel with Dacey, which is a PBS affiliate. So those kinds of efforts by Destination Niagara translate into benefits not just for this 2021 season, but for future seasons.
We are talking with Dave Kenyon this morning here on Niagara County's History Show. Melissa Dunlap has a vacation time, and she asked Dave to sit in, and Norm Palmer is not here today, so that's why you're hearing John Mazur here on the History Show, which actually has a great deal of fascination for me, Dave, as I've been doing more and more digging into the history around Lockport and Niagara County. One of the things we wanted to talk about was in the newsletter from the Historical Society. They did a whole page on the Hodge Opera House. up until last week, I had no idea that Lockport had an opera house. And, you know, we can get into that maybe in a moment or two. But there's so much. The history in this area is so rich. And it's interesting to hear. I think Melissa was saying in last month's show that there's been quite a bit of interest. Ray Weigel also was mentioning that people who are new to the area are being attracted to the historical society and to the different buildings and to the features and to the locks and just learning of the history of this area. And it's so rich. And I think that's, you know, just tremendous that people have an interest like that.
Indeed. And credit Melissa Dunlap, Anne-Marie Linneberry, Ray Weigel for their focus on contemporary events and making sure that those contemporary events are researched and documented. Witness most specifically the pandemic. I know that Melissa and her staff were very busy making sure that they compiled a lot of information about the effects of the pandemic in 2020 as well as into 2021. Why? Because that too will become part of the historical treatise on Niagara County, you know, for future generations. And let me just mention also that the Historical Society right now, through early October, is hosting an exhibit on 9/11, the tragic events around September 11th. And, of course, it's the 20th anniversary of 9/11. Mm-hmm. But they've got a great exhibit, which is anchored by a quilt, the 9/11 quilt that was done by Linda Hunter, that's available free of charge for people to visit at the Historical Society's Outwater Complex right at 215 Niagara Street. And I know that they would love to see folks stop by to experience that. And again, that's just recent history.
Yeah, and with 9/11, the actual anniversary coming up on Saturday, what are the hours for the Outwater Complex, Dave?
They're open 9 until 5. Monday through Saturday, actually.
Are they going to keep that exhibit up for a while after the weekend, do you think? Or
It goes through early October.
Oh, okay. So even if somebody is interested in seeing it and they can't make it before the weekend, there will still be time afterwards to get over to Niagara Street and to view that.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And another program that the Niagara County Historical Society does a great job on is they have a team of historical reenactors. These are, again, volunteers. They're part of the Step Back in Time Players, and they have reinitiated their series of cemetery tales, which take place in our local cemeteries, most notably the cemeteries that are in Lockport. And there will be another session of the cemetery tales on Sunday, September 12th. And they'll have a number of reenactors from 1 until roughly 3 o'clock that will be serving as reenactors for people like Charlie Case, who will be played by Jeff Copeless, Benjamin Carpenter, Lockport's first mayor, will be played by Clint Starkey, Aunt Edna Smith, who nursed Erie Canal workers, will be done by Pat Kibler-Fries. Bertzel Holly will be portrayed by Charlie Begley, and Eliza Mozell will be portrayed by Brenda Reeves. So we encourage people to call 434-7433 for reservations. It's just $10 per person. And, again, those events are very popular and will take place at Cold Spring Cemetery.
All right. Thank you very much, Dave. Dave Kenyon is filling in for Melissa Dunlap today. Melissa is on vacation, Dave being the chairman of the Lockport Locks Heritage District. And so, Dave, I wanted to get back to the item we were just mentioning a moment ago about the Hodge Opera House. And what struck me is I was reading some history about the building that, you know, in this day and age, we hear an awful lot about new construction and how developers are doing multi-use buildings. apartments, dwellers with some retail space and some office space, things like that. Well, what struck me as interesting is back in the 1800s when the Hodge Opera House was designed and built, it too was a multi-use building. It had retail. It had county offices. It had regular business insurance. There was 20 different insurance companies in that building, plus the facility for the opera theater in the building, too.
Wasn't it amazing?
Yeah. And so as I read what happened, and, of course, most people know now that the Bewley Building rests on the foundation of what was the Hodge Opera House there on Market and Main Street. So just fascinating stuff. But maybe you can, you know, fill in some of the gaps for us.
Well, yes, it was in 1878 that the article focuses on, and again, it was an excellent article that was done by Melissa Dunlap in the most recent issue of the newsletter. And I think that you've covered some of the high points there. But one of the most well-known businesses on the Market Street level was Merchant's Gargling Oil Company, which produced liniment originally intended for the muscles of animals. But Merchant's Gargling Oil was a tremendously nationally renowned business.
Wow.
That was headquartered right in Lockport.
And what was that? Merchant's Gargling,
gargling oil
for
yes.
animals, huh?
Well, it started with animals, and there were certainly uses by humans also.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, so trivia time for you, Dave. We used this on the air a couple of days ago during the morning show, and so there was a feature once the Bewley Building was opened. I think it was in the early 20s, 1920s, and then in 1955 there was an installation of a new feature that was the first of its kind in all of Western New York. Do you know what that feature was?
How about vending machines?
No.
No?
No, it was the self-operated elevator.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool because, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, Lockport. Yeah, we have things to be proud of, and there's certainly a lot of heritage and history here. And you just mentioned a liniment company that was started in Lockport and very successful. But to have the very first self-operated elevator in all of Western New York to be right there in the Bewley Building, I thought that was pretty cool.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. Yeah. The Niagara County Historical Society, of course, benefits tremendously not only from having a strong membership, but it also has its own series of special events. And one of its major special events during the course of the year is the annual Oktoberfest event, which this year will take place on Saturday, October 16th. From 6 until 9:30. Again, it will be at Cornell Cooperative Extension and will feature the fine food prepared by Donna Ike. There will be a basket raffle, Amish quilt raffle, and door prizes. Listeners are really encouraged to attend and enjoy the entire program. And if Melissa Dunlap were here, she would want to make sure that everyone knew that it will feature the music of the Frankfurters, which, as she always says, is the best of the worst.
And I like that.
Yeah, so many of your listeners have heard Melissa talk about that in the past. But the reservations are just $40 a person, and they can be made also by calling 434-7433. But not to be confused by Oktoberfest, but we'll also be having Lockport's 8th annual Locktoberfest coming up.
Uh-huh.
And Locktoberfest, of course, speaks very strongly to the mission of our Locks Heritage District organization. Locktoberfest is organized largely by another one of our close affiliates, Lockport Main Street. And, of course, during the summer months, every Saturday, local residents and visitors enjoy the fine community farmers market that takes place every Saturday from 9 a.m. until 2 p.m. Well, Locktoberfest takes advantage of that community market on Canal Street and makes it even better. The event, Locktoberfest, will last from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. And it's an expanded farmers market. Let me just mention that some of the growers that will be featured will be McCollum Orchards, Wilder Greens, Local Roots, Feather Lane Gardens, Human Farms, and Greenhouse. And it includes other special vendors such as Northridge Distillery, Sugarcane Western New York, Keeping Traditions Pierogi, and also one of my favorites that's at the market every week, Stone Hollow Farms. So the number of vendors there will be exceptional, and the music is continuous throughout the day. We'll start at 9 o'clock with Carmen and Lizzie. At 11 o'clock, Nico Zarcone will be on the Locktoberfest stage, which is our Canal Street gazebo. At 1 o'clock, Dave Stockton will perform, and at 3 o'clock, the Bummers will be performing, and they'll be performing right up until closing time at 5 o'clock. New this year are a number of features. Let me say that we will have our traditional locks demonstrations, locking through our Erie Traveler in the restored Erie Canal locks from 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. But our Locks District volunteers through Locks District Tours are also providing one-hour narrated walking tours originating from the Erie Canal Discovery Center at 11 a.m., 12 noon, and 1 p.m. So this is going to be a slightly shortened version of our Monday through Friday summer tour, the Lock Tender Tribute walking tour for the Flight of Five. But it's, again, going to be originated from the Erie Canal Discovery Center, and reservations, we'll be accepting walk-up reservations that day, okay, as well as online reservations. So it'll be a great date. And, you know, one of the other really nice features of Locktoberfest is some of the children's activities. We'll be having face painters, duck ponds, and lots of other activities for kids. So it's a great family event. Locktoberfest, I mentioned, it's Lockport's 8th annual. Well, Locktoberfest actually is celebrated in a number of other canal communities, in Phoenix, New York, interestingly enough, Fort Edward up on the Champlain Canal, down in Watkins Glen, interestingly enough, in the Finger Lakes, all of which are connected by our canal system, as well as Rome, New York, which is where construction started almost 200 years ago on the Erie Canal. But Lockport was the first location on the Erie Canal to celebrate Locktoberfest. So this is an event that we do in collaboration also with our New York State Canal Corporation, the operators and owners of the New York State Canal System, to celebrate the heritage of the Erie Canal, as well as our fine fall fresh produce and our local Erie Canal heritage. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Dave. That is October 1st through the 3rd right here in Lockport. And we do have somebody who is listening and wanted to chime in. Good morning. You are on the History Show here on WLVL.
Yeah, I just have a question for Dave. He's done a lot of research on the canal, and I was wondering, why don't they have anything to do with the Zenith Thrall? He's the first flock tender to lock a boat through the Erie Canal. In fact, the one where they had the marriage of the waters from the Erie Canal, or from Lake Erie to the Hudson. And I never hear any mention of him. I mean, he was important enough to have Thrall Road out in Cambria named after him. And he was, like I said, the first lock tender, but yet we got all these statues of people that followed him. But I don't see any mention at all of his name as far as being a lock tender.
And Zenith Thrall was the very first lock tender in the Erie Canal Flight of Five locks back on October 26, 1825. And we do memorialize Zenith Thrall, interestingly enough. And thanks for that call, by the way. I love to talk about Zenith Thrall, not just because of his Cambria connection, of course, but we do mention Zenith Thrall in our Flight of Five lock tenders tour. We recognize the fact that Zenith was the first Lockport lock tender. But also, Zenith Thrall is featured in our brochure on the Lock Tenders Tribute. You'll find reference to Zenith again as the very first Lockport lock tender. You know, one of the challenges of doing a sculpture of Zenith Thrall is we have no image of what he looked like. It would be very difficult because we just don't know what Zenith looked like, even though we know that he must have been a big, strong man in order to be able to operate those Lockport locks, manually opening and closing those wooden lock gates. But a number of years ago, we were able to have one of his living descendants participate in one of our programs. But yes, Zenas Thrall is very much in mind in terms of our Erie Canal heritage. One other aspect of Lockport's heritage, not directly related to the Erie Canal, but this is something that, again, Melissa Dunlap took a real leadership role with from the Historical Society and helped to bring to fruition. But the Harrison Radiator Company was established in Lockport in August of 1910. And we're so fortunate to still have standing the a large portion of the original building of Harrison Radiator, which is located, guess where?
On
Canal Street,
yeah.
57 Canal Street, which is now owned by Iskolo Development and is where a number of businesses are currently located. But we're during Locktoberfest this year, on that Saturday, October 2nd at 10 a.m., we're going to have a formal dedication and formal unveiling of a plaque that will be a cast bronze plaque that is being installed on the facade of 57 Canal Street, and which commemorates that building as being the original home of Harrison Radiator Company. It gives especially prominence to Herbert Harrison, who was the founder of Harrison Radiator, and he lived right here in Lockport. And he was the one who invented what's called the hexagon honeycomb radiator. You know, there are so many individuals, so many families that for generations have derived their livelihood from Harrison Radiator, now General Motors Components Holding. We encourage all of them to come out and participate in that formal dedication because they share the heritage of Herbert Harrison and the founding of Harrison Radiator here in Lockport. Most notably, by 1925, even though the company was established in 1910, by 1925, Harrison's company had become the largest manufacturer of radiators in the world. They were at that time producing almost 2 million units per year. And of course, the radiator was such an important invention, especially the hexagon honeycomb, because of the need to make sure that there was a coolant system for those hot engines that were providing the propulsion for the new automobiles at that time.
Very fascinating stuff. And I knew that that building was still there on Canal Street, and every time I go by, it just I have to stop and think to myself, wow, what history, you know.
Tremendous.
A major manufacturer got started in that very spot. So when is that dedication for the
Saturday, October 2nd, 10 a.m.
Oh, during Locktoberfest.
Right, during Locktoberfest.
All right.
So it'll be a great opportunity for people to come and participate in that building dedication, take in everything that Locktoberfest has to offer. It'll be a great day for Lockport. And I should mention that in addition to Melissa Dunlap, Dave Stockton especially has distinguished himself in his research effort, the design of this particular plaque. It's not an ordinary bronze historic landmark plaque. This plaque is designed and is in the shape of a radiator. And it is so unique. We were fortunate to find an excellent fabricator that has done a great job. The information displayed on the plaque, the photos, you'll find photos of not only of Herbert Harrison, but photos of that workforce that worked at that building location at 57 Canal Street, what is now 57 Canal Street, back in the early mid-1900s. So it's again something that so many people will be able to participate in. But yes, give credit to one of our great local historic preservation proponents, Dave Stockton for his work, again, and not just in helping to do fundraising and the content and the research that went into the plaque, but also the radiator design. If you see Dave, after you see the plaque, if you see Dave Stockton, he will be performing later on in the day right from the Locktoberfest stage at Locktoberfest. But he'll make sure that you thank him for his great advocacy and all the work that he put in to that particular effort.
Yeah. So maybe we need to get Dave Stockton on the show here before Locktoberfest, huh?
He's a very knowledgeable person.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'd be glad. He can talk about a number of topics.
Yeah. Well, that sounds great, Dave. Thank you so much. 433-1433 is the number to call if you'd like to get into the discussion of things historic here on Niagara County's Historic Show. Historical Society show, I should say. Almost said hysterical show, Dave, but...
not that.
Yeah, not that. So, the caller that we had just a moment ago,
yes,
that asked about Zenas Thrall, and you pointed out that there's no pictures of him physically. So I would assume that Susan Geisler would have had a tough time creating a statue, just guessing as to what the guy might have looked like.
That's correct. Yeah. And thank goodness for the fact that we had Frank Clench,
yep,
in 1897,
yep,
who took that photographer, which is the basis for all of the sculptures that we have now seated on the stairs in the Lockport Locks. The Erie Canal, of course, is not just a focus of our local and our state's heritage, but it's also, of course, a modern-day waterway. We have seen a lot of boat traffic on the Erie Canal coming through Lockport this year. And if I could, I just wanted to take a minute and talk about, mm-hmm, a group of boaters who are not well known, and yet they're a very significant part of the users of the New York State Canal system. And they're what we call loopers. Now, loopers are boaters who travel along the nation's inland waterways and complete what's called the Great American Loop. And many of those boaters originate in the Florida and the Caribbean area, and they navigate along the eastern seaboard up through the waterways along the eastern seaboard, enter at New York Harbor, come north on the Hudson River. They take a left-hand turn when they reach Albany and enter the Erie Canal and continue all the way through the Erie Canal and eventually enter the Great Lakes system. Make the route through the Great Lakes, travel on either down through the Ohio River or the Mississippi River, and complete that Great American Loop by coming back again to the Florida area. So it is literally a geographical loop that they travel. It takes a number of weeks to complete that. But the loopers have been a large contingent this year. They don't travel in groups necessarily, but they've made up a big part of the market this year for boaters on the Erie Canal. And it's just a segment that we don't talk about here locally, but it's a group of canal and water users that I know that our lock tenders who work for the Canal Corporation are thrilled to see come through every year, and that they've noticed a significant increase in their numbers for this season.
Wow.
Just wanted to make sure our listeners knew about the loopers.
Yeah, well, that's very interesting, Dave.
Isn't
it, though? Yeah, that we have people from as far away as you say, the Caribbean, up through Florida and the East Coast, heading in through the Hudson River and then into the canal system. Have you made a notation, or is there somebody sort of keeping track of, like, what kind of boats that they're using? I'm assuming most of them are self-contained. You know, they're going to be traveling for, as you say, weeks and weeks to make this loop. So
when our listeners visit the Lockport Locks, if they see large sailboats, you can bet that a lot of a large percentage of those large sailboats are loopers.
Wow. Okay.
So that's a good rule of thumb to use when you do observe large sailboats coming through the canal system. They are probably loopers.
And any idea about how many we've seen this year so far?
We will get numbers at the end of the year, at the end of the season. I don't have any numbers for you right now, but they are a significant number. And another group of users, even though they are not waterborne users, but a large number of additional users we've seen enjoying the New York State Canal System this year are cyclists. The number of cyclists coming through Lockport and the number of cyclists stopping in Lockport, enjoying, all the heritage that we have between the Erie Canal Discovery Center. Some of them go on the cave tours, the canal cruises, but they are loaded down lots of times with backpacks and the rest. But they are cycling, many of them, large sections of the entire what we call Canalway Trail, which is, of course, the rebuilt towpath of the Erie Canal. And it's now a multi-purpose recreational trail. And the Canalway Trail is now part of the Empire State Trail, which is a series of large regional trails, including the Hudson River Greenway, the Genesee River Greenway. All of these trails are now well connected. And, of course, bikers mean business. Boaters mean business. The more businesses we have to service those overnight visitors, especially with overnight accommodations, be they bed and breakfasts, restaurants along the canal, gift shops, they're a tremendous market that I think we're only going to see continue to increase in numbers in the coming years.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you mentioned that from a tourism standpoint, because every time I cross over the canal near the locks and I look down, and the Mike Murphy's boats are always filled this year. And
isn't it great?
Yeah, it is great. And considering we had a conversation with him back in the early spring, and he was lamenting the difficult year that last year had been for his business and for other businesses along the canal. But to see that there is a great response this year as things loosened up with the pandemic, and obviously, again, his boats seem to be filled all the time, which is really good news. So, Dave, we got another call here. Let's see who might be with us. Good morning. You're on the Great History Show for Niagara County. This is WLVL.
Well, good morning. I'll agree with the statement of there's more cyclists using the canal than boats right now. I live right on the canal here in Middleport, and all day long, bicycles up and down the canal, and the saddlebags and trailers and gear that they bring with them, they're serious cyclers. And all day long. And this year has been, I would say, a record for them. And as far as the boats go, yeah, there was a big sailboat went through this morning. Just yesterday, I saw a boat from it said Texas on it. I can't think of the city. I've seen boats from, you know, all over the country go through this canal. And it's just amazing that, you know, people are up here using this canal for what it is.
Yeah. Did you hear the discussion that Dave was mentioning about the loopers?
I heard part of it. I was out to let the dog out, and I missed a little bit.
Okay. Well, that's understandable. Dave, why don't you just real quick recap for him what the loopers are?
Yes, we've been seeing a significant number of loopers. In other words, using the Great American Loop. It's a waterway that extends along the East Coast seaboard. Large boats come in through New York Harbor, continue up the Hudson River, continue their trip west on the Erie Canal, enter the Great Lakes, go south along the Mississippi, and end up back in the Caribbean, in the Gulf of Mexico, around Florida, where many of them originate from. So it's a tremendous source.
Austin, Texas is where that boat was from.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
And I saw one from North Carolina go through. I've seen them from Florida, from all over the, you know, like I say, the continental United States go through this canal. And this year has been pretty busy. I have a friend who runs one of the lip bridges, and he said that on July 4th weekend, the one day he lifted the bridge 14 times,
wow,
which was almost a record. The 4th of July was real busy as far as boat traffic.
The Columbus Day holiday weekend will also be a busy weekend. Unfortunately, the navigation season on the Erie Canal will conclude on October 15th. But look for a big surge again right around Columbus Day weekend.
Another thing I've noticed is these rental boats out of Skaneateles. I don't know how many there are there, but they're in the canal all the time. They're rented out continuously every weekend.
What kind of boat are they renting?
It's like a miniature packet boat.
Oh, okay.
And they've got air conditioning on there. There's a place to put your bicycles and your gear. And this last weekend, there must have been an extended family because there were three of them, three of them traveling together at the same time. And they tied up here in Middleport. They probably went through the locks. They came back, tied up again, and for 3 days I saw the three boats traveling together. And that's very popular with these rental boats. I'm not sure where their local station is, because I'm sure they're not renting them out of Skaneateles.
Yes, they're headquartered in Macedon, New York, which is just east of Rochester. Midlakes Navigation has a fleet of about 10 of these boats. They're motorized. They accommodate overnight accommodations. They have sleeping facilities right on board, yep, cooking facilities. They're great. We're also fortunate to have some pontoon boats that are made available through Amherst Marine. So you see lots of those kinds of rental craft that are being used. I appreciate the call from our caller here, but I also just wanted to, of course, mention the fact that our own Lockport Locks and Erie Canal cruises will continue to be busy through the fall months. And then, of course, a big part of their spring market is made up of visitors from schools. Our local school student population, especially fourth graders and seventh graders, study New York history as part of their curriculum and about the Erie Canal. So you see a lot of student groups coming.
I have seen a lot of school buses around the locks,
yes,
going for the tour and probably getting on the boat and going through it.
Yes, and our Niagara County. Yes,
yeah.
And our Niagara County Historical Society. Even though this program was not available with the pandemic during the past year, but there's a program that's sponsored by the Erie Canalway National Heritage Corridor Commission called Ticket to Ride. Well, the ticket is what enables schools to be able to provide school bus transportation for schools from Buffalo, from surrounding communities here in Western New York. They bring their students to the Niagara County Historical Society, to the Erie Canal Discovery Center, and Anne-Marie Lineberry and the rest of the staff at the Discovery Center do a great job in providing an orientation and tour of students. It's a walking tour right down into the Lockport Locks. And, of course, this year, those students will be able to see our Lock Tender tribute figures, which will only enhance the value of that trip.
Mr. Middleport, we thank you very much for joining us this morning, but we are running out of time.
Okay.
Thank you, and thanks, and keep up the good work with watching the boats come through Middleport there on the canal.
All right, I'll keep you updated. How's that?
Yeah, that sounds great. Thank you so much.
Okay, take care.
All right, thank you. Dave, we have just a couple of minutes left. Any final thoughts for us this morning?
Just a reminder, the 9/11 exhibit at the Niagara County Historical Society will continue through early October. Make sure you take advantage of the cemetery tales that are coming up with the Step Back in Time players. More information can be obtained by calling the Historical Society at 434-7433. And, of course, the annual Oktoberfest celebration featuring the Frankfurters at the Cornell Cooperative Extension Center. Saturday, October 2nd, will be the Locktoberfest celebration all day from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. right on Canal Street. Tours of the locks, lots of great food, kids' activities, and, of course, our locks demonstrations of locking through the Erie Traveler. So celebrate both
Somebody wants to get all this information, and they haven't been writing it down. The phone number, and is there a web address, a website for the Historical Society?
The phone number for the Historical Society, 434-7433, and their website is niagarahistory.org. And there's also a website for Locktoberfest, simply Locktoberfest, that's with an L, O-C-K-T-O-B-E-R, fest.org is the website for Locktoberfest.
All right, Dave Kenyon, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
We have enjoyed this conversation this morning. Dave Kenyon is the chairman of the Locks Heritage District, Lockport Locks Heritage District, and he was filling in for Melissa Dunlap today, who's on vacation. And so we appreciate the information, Dave. It's been a good time. And we had a couple of calls with some great questions for us today and comments. So we thank you, and I'm assuming that Melissa will be back next month. It's always the second Wednesday of each month for the Niagara County Historical Society show. And so with that said, thank you all for listening. DJV is up next after Fox News at the top of the hour. My name is John Mazur. We thank you for joining us, and tune in next time here on WLVL Lockport.